Okay, so the Meshech Chachma, which I wanted to learn today, the Meshech Chachma is different than the other Sfarim that we've seen. We saw the Beis Elokim the first week, we saw Rav Huttner the second week. Those were books written, I don't know if either of them would have thought of themselves as philosophical, but Machshava, the Beis Elokim was written as a deep Machshava Sefer, the Pachad Yitzchak were oral presentations, what he called Ma'amarim, that Rav Huttner gave that were then written up as a book. The Meshech Chachma is actually a parish al HaTorah. It's a parish of Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, right? It was 19th century. He died in the 1920s, so he made it into the first part of the 20th century. You know, legendary Talmud Chacham, one of the Gedolei Hador. You know, we study him in Gemara and learning in Lomdus, the Or Sameach. But he also wrote, which, if I remember correctly, my history, I think what he called his magnum opus was a commentary on the Torah, the Meshech Chachma. So this is really a parish al HaTorah. You could learn this for a Chumash year. But, you know, you could say, I'm not enough of an expert to start comparing commentaries, and I don't mean this in a stylistic sense necessarily, but just like many people, notably Rav Lichtenstein, turn to Ramban's Perush al HaTorah as a book of Machshava, like a really foundational book of Machshava. So the truth is, there are things in Perushim like the Meshech Chachma, and I want to show you an example of it today, which are really very Machshavti and very, very, very interesting in a philosophical sense. In a lowercase p, if you will. I think this idea, which I gave you three examples on the sheet for, I think, if I'm not mistaken, at least two other times, if I'm not mistaken, also appears in his writing. So this, you could definitely say, is a theme of the Meshech Chachma, which he uses for numerous opportunities of parshanut, explaining things, although that's not the selections that I presented here on the sheet. And what I want to focus with you on are not ones that are primarily parshanut related, although as we'll see in one of the pieces that I gave you, in the middle one, which is a really clutch one, he does use it to explain what you might call as a literary or parshanut problem. But in other places he uses it for other opportunities, but here I want to use this really as a thoughtful, if you will, philosophical or even Musar text, because I think it's really a tremendous insight into tshuva. So he says as follows. Let's begin. Now, it's a great opportunity, but it's also kind of scary. But, you know, sometimes you just got to stare the truth in the face and confront it. Says the Meshech Chachma, and this is the first source in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Perek Yud Chet. Ki hachet, yigdal lefamim mitzad hacheshbon. Sometimes a sin is even worse than it looks. Sometimes a sin grows worse based on a term that he calls cheshbon. If you do the cheshbon, which for now we'll translate colloquially as you calculate the sin, you assess the sin, it actually looks worse than you thought. We'll explain what he means, because that term cheshbon has a very deliberate meaning in his thought, and that's exactly what our focus is today. But he'll get to that in the next line. And he says, this idea that sometimes sins are even worse than we thought, it's something really, really important to keep in mind when we think of Yom Kippur. Because if we would take advantage of this, then we would have a tremendous, on Yom Kippur, which is an opportunity, Yom Kippur has a special day, a person can even rip up the Gzar Din, can even uproot past decrees that are against a person. There's a tremendous opportunity, nakel ashuv Hashem Yisbarach, it's easier to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, and yet, if we don't take advantage of the opportunity of tshuva, that will somehow make it worse, based on this term called cheshbon. And that's how a sin could actually even get worse. It can ferment and get worse as time goes on. Now, what does he mean by that? So now, thankfully, we don't have to wait too long. Here in the middle of this second phrase, this is where he finally gives us this terminology, explains what it means. And as he says here, and he doesn't always give you the source, but in a few times he does, he's not hiding it. The source of this insight, although he develops it, far-ranging, but the source of the insight is actually the Vilna Gaon, the Gra. The Gra says, "Inyan zeh pirush haGra ba'avos," because in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it says that one of the things a person has to remember to avoid sinning is you should remember, "Lifnei mi asid litein din v'cheshbon." Before whom are you going to have to give a din and a cheshbon, a din and a reckoning? So says the Vilna Gaon, what exactly is the difference between Din and Cheshbon, right? They can't, presumably if it's in the Mishnah, they're not redundant. So says the Vilna Gaon, this is amazing. What is Din v'Cheshbon? Din hu al Aveira she'asa. Din is on the sin that you did. So what's Cheshbon? Cheshbon hu masha haya yachol la'asos mitzvah. This is like wow, but wow and scary. Some of the things we saw previously, especially the Mabit, were like wow and like uplifting and and helpful. This is wow and scary. Says the Vilna Gaon, a person is going to be culpable for two things, for each sin. Number one is what they actually did wrong, but number two is what they could have been doing right. Now, I will insert a few different phrases, and I think they're all true to the Vilna Gaon. What you could have been doing right at that time. What you could have been doing right with those resources. What you could have been doing right with that particular object or whatever, right? So you spent time, you know, again, just as a simple example, without even getting to the more graphic or severe sins. Let's say everyone needs, you know, the whole issue of like Talmud Torah versus like rest and relaxation, super complex, individualized kind of a sugya. But everyone understands, in broad strokes, you have to learn, and everyone understands that you can't learn every minute because you'll go crazy, and by the way, there are other things important in life, etc. But let's just leave aside the other important things, right? Let's say a person needs a certain amount of rest and relaxation. But let's imagine that there's a certain period of time in which you really don't. Hashem knows, and probably you know, I really could be learning now. It's not that I need this to recharge. I could be learning now. But I indulge. I'm not even now discussing something really horrible that you did. Let's just say you spent 3 hours, you know, binging on Netflix or something like that. So says, in essence, the Vilna Gaon, the din is on the Bittul Torah. But the cheshbon is what you could have been doing, all the mitzvot you could have been doing. Or, again, I'll give you as a simple example, you know, get another example. Hypothetically, again, I understand that in all these cases, maybe I really needed the rest. Let's say you had committed on earth to doing a chesed opportunity, and then you decided in the end not to do it. And you go with your friends, I don't know, to watch a movie. And let's even say, for argument's sake, it's an inappropriate movie. I don't mean graphically inappropriate, but not so it has elements. It's rated R, let's say. So number one is maybe you saw things or heard things you shouldn't see. So you're going to have a din for that. But more than that, says the Vilna Gaon, instead of doing that, you could have been doing the mitzvah of the Bikur Cholim or the building the sukkah for the old lady or whatever it is. So din is on what you did wrong. Cheshbon is on what you could have been doing. You have extra money. Right? You spend it on something completely ridiculous. But the cheshbon is going to be on what you could have been doing with it. All those things are the din v'cheshbon of the Vilna Gaon. So says, based on this, says the Meir Simcha, this will really redound to Tshuva and Yom Kippur, which is not in the Vilna Gaon at all. But the Meshech Chachma is taking this principle and running with it. Third line. Im kein, nechze lamashal. Let's think, for example. Im chata b'maisa. You did a certain avera, a certain inappropriate action. So we think of it, what, the same physical exertion you had, the same physical activity you had, or the object you used. What could you have done that for a mitzvah? That's the cheshbon. But what's even worse than that? What about a machshava shechashav ba'avera? If a person was thinking inappropriate thoughts, he did a thought for an avera. Then we not only punish him for the inappropriate thought, but we punish him for the fact that he could have been thinking about a mitzvah at that very time with those very same mental resources, mental energies. And we know there's an idea that thinking about a mitzvah also you get credit for. If you were planning on doing a mitzvah and then you did the mitzvah, you get credit not only for the mitzvah but also all the planning that you did in your mind. And therefore, the flip side is also true, says the Meshech Chachma. Im kein oz hayilo schar kemachshav umaisa. If you had done the mitzvah, you would have gotten rewarded for both. Nimsa behedro, by not doing it, ne'edar mimeno, what did you miss out on? Gam the machshava and the maisa. And therefore, in light of all this, he says, getting back to how he started, im kein lefize onesh hacheshbon, hu gadol ahla machshava yosre min ala maisa. So actually, if you do, you know, bad thoughts, that's actually even worse in a certain sense than a maisa, because the machshava is a punishment in itself. You have a cheshbon that I wasn't thinking good things, and the things that you have been thinking good would have helped you do a good thing. All that cascades in dominoes, and all that's not the din. The din is I did one thing wrong. I thought something I shouldn't do, or I did something I shouldn't do. But there's all this other wider picture, and that's called the cheshbon. That's what the Gemara says. Hirhurei avera, kashin mena avera. Sometimes even thinking about an avera is even worse than doing an avera. How could that possibly be? Just thinking about it's worse than doing it? Hainu l'inyan onesh cheshbon. No, that's what we mean. We're talking about the cheshbon. Okay, so this is one point that he makes here. But let's broaden that again. So we've been introduced to this, I think, impressive, fascinating, but a little bit scary thought. Let's broaden it. Let's see how it relates specifically to tshuva. And he uses this to answer a parshanut issue on Netzav and Vayelech, on the parshios that we're coming up on. Look what he says here, the next piece, Devar and Paraglamid. The Pasuk says very famously, Ki ha-mitzvah hazos, right? It is this mitzvah, which is not far from you, it's not in the heavens, it's not in the this, lo niflesim, right? That's the famous Pasuk, Ki ha-mitzvah hazos. And he quotes it from the Sefer HaIkarim, but it's most famously from the Ramban and the Sforno, that this is talking about tshuva. These psukim are talking about tshuva. Okay, so now he asks, one second, if that's on Pasuk Yud Aleph, four psukim later, Pasuk Tet Vav, it says, very famous phrase, Re'ei nasati lefenecha hayom, behold, I'm placing before you a choice. Es hachayim ves hatov. Es hamaves ves hara, right? You choose good, you get life. You choose bad, you get death, right? A pasuk in Chumash. Comes along with Meir Simcha and asks a parshanut question. This is eerily similar to a pasuk that we had earlier in Sefer Dvarim in Parshat Re'ei. Perek Yud Aleph. But there, on the one hand, it's an almost identical pasuk. On the other hand, the fact that it's almost identical means that the differences jump out at us. Because as opposed to what we just saw here, which was Chayim in Maves, your choices are stark, life and death. What did it say in Re'ei, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chavav? Re'ei nesati lefneichem hayom, bracha uklala. Now, blessing and curse are not to be sneezed at. That sounds like pretty high stakes. But blessing and curse are maybe high stakes, but they're a lot lower than life and death. So he wants to know, in essence, he doesn't phrase it like v'im tomar, yesh lishol, yesh la'ayin. But basically, he's asking a question. Why the transition? How come the first time, the re'ei nasati lifneichem, it's only blessing and curse? And now when you get to the end of Dvarim, before Rosh Hashanah, you know, Aseres Yemei Tshuva time, all of a sudden we're reading a Parsha, it seems to be the exact same choice. Choose good, but all of a sudden here it's life and death, not just blessing and curse. So you could say it's a philosophical question, but it's really a Parshanu question at its heart. But how does he answer it? He answers it based on this, if you will, machshavti, philosophical idea that we already saw from the Vilna Gaon. And he explains, Zeh, what's the answer? This is already the answer. Zeh, Konem sh'amr mitzvah sa'tshuva. Avakeimu sh'amr mitzvah sa'tshuva, halo ha'cheshbon, gadol min ha'din. Sh'ayachal lo shuv, v'lo shav. He says, you know what, the answer is very simple. What happened in between psukim, the parsha in Re'ei, the first Re'ei, nesati lefneichem hayom, and the Re'ei of Perek Lamed, all of a sudden it jumped from bracha and klala to life and death. Huge jump. So says the Meshech Chochma. You'll note, you want to know what the answer is? What was right in between? Not exactly equidistant, but what's in between the two? Ki ha-mitzvah zos. The world, the Torah, is introduced to what concept? A novel idea? Called tshuva. You did something wrong, you deserve punishment, but if you follow a certain prescribed game plan, you can uproot the deed. You can get out of the punishment. That's this new thing. It's a chiddush. And of course, according to many mafarshim, the basis of that is Perek Lamed. So one second, he says, if four psukim later, all of a sudden there's another re'ei. But now it's re'ei of life and death. How come it's all of a sudden much worse? Because Eino Domes, says the Meshech Chochma, making the wrong choice in a world where there's no tshuva, and making a wrong choice that you never correct, in a world where you could have done tshuva. In a world pre-tshuva, listen, there was schar v'onesh even before Perek Lamed. There's always reward and punishment, right? V'haya im shamoa, It's a sine qua non. It's the basis of almost everything in Judaism, is that level of human human ability to choose and the responsibility for your choices. That we knew before this. And therefore, in Re'eh, Perek Yud Aleph, Re'eh, I made a mistake. If you do the right things, excuse me, bracha, you make a mistake, klola. There are consequences. You're not a little kid anymore. Grow up. There are consequences. But we get to Perek Lamed, Pasuk Tezvav, all of a sudden the consequences magnify. They explode. Life and death. How come? Because what was in between? The opportunity all of a sudden introduced us with a new thing called tshuva. And the Rav Meir Simcha, the way he reads the psukim, is that the second Re'eh is talking about not only a person who sinned, but a person who sinned and never did tshuva. If I told you something to do or not to do, and I even told you how you could make it right. I'll give you an example. A teacher gives a test, lahavdil, a simple example. I'll give you a test. So as it is, you didn't study, you failed. But I feel bad for you. And I say, you know what? If you want and you're willing to study hard, I'll let you have a makeup test. And you blow that off, you don't take the makeup test. Comes along the teacher for the report card. Any rachmanis that they might have had just because the first time, but it was hard for me to do the test and I was busy and I had another responsibility. Okay, that's why I gave you opportunity for the makeup. You didn't do it. When you don't take the opportunity for the makeup, what is that? Do it makes the first thing look much worse. But why should I be punished? I only did the Avera once. So says the Meshech Chachma. Because that's Cheshbon. You get punished twice now. One is the din, whatever you did. And that would be Bracha and Klala. But you also get held responsible for Cheshbon. What you could have done. What could you have done? You could have done tshuva. You didn't take that opportunity. That's kalul in this idea. And again, this is he's taking the Gra, moving beyond the Gra, but it's still grounded in the Gra, which is why he uses this terminology. You had an opportunity to do tshuva, and you didn't do tshuva. That's Cheshbon. And now you're getting punished not only for the sin, but also Pishnayim, not only for the sin, but for the fact that you didn't do tshuva. So now, all of a sudden, what was just a bracha and klola is now chayim and mavis. It's much worse because you didn't take the opportunity. Now, what is this mehecha tesi? Where is this idea that I get punished? Not because I didn't put on tefillin. That's an aveira in itself. But where is this idea that I get punished because I didn't take advantage of an opportunity for a mitzvah? Well, who said I have to? Says the Vilna Gaon, I'll tell you, I didn't make it up. It's called cheshbon. And that's the gross idea. Din v'cheshbon. Din is what I did. Cheshbon is what I could have done. The Gra was talking about a single action or single moment. But the Meshech Chachma now broadens it to answer this seemingly, you know, difficult parshanut question. How come the contrast, I wouldn't call it a contradiction, that's a little too harsh, but this huge jump or contrast in the psukim? And the answer is because it's not just a parshanut issue. There's a philosophical point, a musar point. If you could have you could have done tshuva. You didn't do that. Now you're not only getting punished for the din, you're getting punished for the missed opportunity that you let slip through your fingers for the cheshbon. And as he says here, v'ze avera yoser gedola. That's even worse. V'neshava mebracha v'klola chayim v'mavis. And it goes from bracha v'klola to chayim v'mavis. Kim lo shav, if you didn't do tshuva, Oz nasas haklala mavis chalila shekashar mershe lo yashuv lo shav haol or haavel, excuse me, the sin is yoser gadol, it is worse. Now, as he adds in the last three words, v'zeh musar nora. Right, this is an awesome, or scary, amazing, overwhelming message. So again, you might, you know, innocence is bliss, but it's also dangerous. If this is true, so it may be a little bit scary to consider it in our own lives, but it would be better to know about it so that we have at least the opportunity to take advantage of the opportunity. And you know, thing with, and I have to say, on a personal, even on a quote unquote Musar level, capital Mem, sometimes I think that can actually be something that helps us. And if we just think about, you know I'm not supposed to do this wrong, but I have Yetzer Hara or I'm weak. That can't, you know, that's not always enough to get us to move off of that thing. But sometimes if we think about the cheshbon, we think about, wait, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, but you know, what could I be doing? To just sit at home and not do the sin, you know, just twiddle my fingers and not do the sin, that's difficult, right? Sin loves, nature may abhor a vacuum. The Yetzer Hara loves it. Loves it. Right? Sofa Batolios oven, right? Being, you know, not being busy is like the worst thing ever. Right, Moshe Benovitz from NTSY Kollel, I think, made that observation in a speech he gave to NTSY Kollel this past summer. Right, you take these 16-year-old kids, some of whom are tzaddikim before they come, but a lot of them are very normal high school kids. And all of a sudden they have this like learning program in the summer where they're learning, you know, numerous hours a day. And like, for the most part, I'm not saying everyone's perfect there, but for the most part, doing really good things, not getting in trouble. And there's so many other things that people do in summer camps or even Israel touring programs. So he said that somebody went to ask him, you know, how come? And he said the best insight he has is that the real magic of NTSY Kollel is it's so busy. There's so much going on. You take basically good people and you keep them busy with basically good things. For the most part, people can do that. We're not bad people. We don't want to do bad stuff. It's just that there's so much free time, so much boredom, that it's only natural, and not only when you're 16, it could be natural even beyond you're 16, is that we don't always make the right choices with our boredom and our free time. So in essence, that's really what I think this is a practical point. Again, even if you know, if you think about, you know, not just, well, what should I shouldn't be doing, but what could I be doing that's good? Think about the cheshbon. Not only can that help because it's scary, because you know you're going to pay the piper twice. You're not only going to have to pay Hashem for what you did wrong, you're also paying Hashem for what you could have done right. But I think if you want to put a more positive, empowering spin on it, I would say you could use this in an empowering, motivating way. Don't just think about, oh no, what am I going to get punished if I did the wrong thing? Can I resist? You flip it and say, cheshbon, what can I do with this time? What can I do with this amount of energy? What can I do with this particular resources that I have now, etc.? Okay, let's see one last piece. He finishes it up, and I think it rounds out the idea very nicely. This is later in the Perek Lamed in Devarim. He quotes again the Vilna Gaon, Din V'Cheshbon, and then he brings it back to Yom Kippur. He says, this really should be getting our attention now that we have Yom Kippur coming up. The Kaimulan, after all, the Gemara says in Yuma, Im Tshuva Mechapera Gamal Chamuros, Ubalo Tshuva Gamal Kalos. Right? Yom Kippur is not automatic. Yom Kippur is potent, but it's not automatic. If we do Tshuva on Yom Kippur, it can get us forgiveness for almost anything, even the most chamur. But if we don't do tshuva on Yom Kippur, we just think fasting is the name of the game. If we think fasting is the goal in and of itself, we don't do any tshuva, even the lightest of eros is not going to get us forgiven for. Okay, so says Mashiach Chachma, with that background in mind, that's a Gemara. Im kein, kama gadol hacheshbon. How awesome if Yom Kippur is really such a powerful, potent force. So it's one thing, what he said before here, stam, during the year I could have done tshuva, I didn't do it. At the end of my life I could have done tshuva, I didn't do it. But now, what about the opportunity for tshuva on Yom Kippur? The opportunity of tshuva on Yom Kippur. Im kein gama gadol cheshbon biyom shenene bo gama yochev v'ena satan sholot alav. Says, the satan has no power. We're like angels. We're in a groove. We have every spiritual advantage on Yom Kippur. If you still don't take advantage of that opportunity, even though nakel lasos tshuva, it's easier to do tshuva. Uba dabar kalin, with very little effort on Yom Kippur, yochel lizkot l'chaim hanitzchiim l'yos ahuv l'makom. A person could flip the switch, plug into tshuva, be on fire, get olam haba, eternal life, closest with Hashem. How hard is that on Yom Kippur? And I would add, if you're in yeshiva on Yom Kippur, like, unbelievable. There's so much going on, so much positive energy. How hard is it to tap into that? It's relatively easy. Im chalila, if despite every opportunity, im chalila loa sechuva, yochel yosa onish ala cheshbon, then you're not only punished for all those affairs you did back in February and March. You found what you punished for, the not taking advantage of the opportunity, and the cheshbon, haynu ha'eder asiyaso ha'tshuva, the not using the opportunity to do tshuva. Kemosh ye'anesh al kol chetav, just like you'd be punished on any other sin, v'efshar yoser mehem. Maybe the punishment on the cheshbon, it might even be worse than the punishment on the din. Because you had such an opportunity. Now, of course, the flip side is the positive. Let's end on that. Shebe'emet simcha amitit shakarash baruch hu nasan yom slicha. It's the ultimate joy when we think about it that Hashem gave us this opportunity for slicha. L'kol pishei, no matter what sin we did, and we could do anything we want, and it's incredible. But again, he can't help but circling back. You know, he's committed to telling us the truth whether we want to hear it or not. Ulam im lo shav adam midar kohara, mutav lo shelo haya yom akarash. It would have been better if there wouldn't have been a Yom Kippur. If you do go through Yom Kippur, don't take advantage of it. Because then you're not only punished on all the din, you're punished on one massive, massive cheshbon strikeout. One massive whip. Whiff. And he adds at the end, "Be'erev yom ha'kadosh hazeh, ki hayom hazeh hichpil od on show, l'bli keitz bon cheshbon ha'edra tshuva." So again, the bottom line here is something that probably your parents taught you when you were, getting older, especially if you have older or younger siblings, right? Which is, with great opportunity comes great responsibility, right? The younger siblings, how come I can't stay up as late? How come I don't get to go out with my friends? And parents usually at some point will say, well, Plony, the roommate, the older brother, the older sister, he or she has to take out the garbage and has to do, has all sorts of responsibilities. So you get opportunities. But one doesn't come without the other. That's the bottom line. You want to sum up everything we saw from the Meshech Chachma. Again, Din V'Cheshbon applies to many things, and it's really, in and of itself, just a focus on punishment. Like, bottom line, punishment in two levels. But his implication, which he teases out of the Vilna Gaon when it comes to tshuva, is exactly that. That tshuva is the greatest gift that we ever got, the greatest opportunity. But once Hashem, we may not have asked for the gift, but once Hashem gave us the gift, we'd be a fool not to use it. Not only because who wouldn't want to get out of jail free card, but you don't use that? There's a medrash, I can't remember exactly where the medrash is, but there's a medrash, this is not in the Meshech Chachma, but let's end with this, where I think there was a jailer who wakes up in the morning and he goes to the jail. It's just like there were five people in the jail cell. He checks on the morning thing and he sees that they broke it, they tunneled out in the middle of the night. And there's one guy who didn't leave. And says the medrash, he beats him silly. He says, you idiot, you could have gotten out and you didn't, that's worse. So you had an opportunity to get out of jail and you didn't do it. So not only is that a foolish thing, because why wouldn't you want to get out of jail free, but you're going to get punished more for not taking advantage of it. So that's, again, the way of thinking about it, I think both it's accurate, but empowering, in a serious and a somber and responsible way is, with great opportunity comes great responsibility. Tshuva is the greatest opportunity in the world. Right? None of us are perfect. We're all in desperate need of forgiveness. Hashem didn't have to give it to us. He gave it to us. But Dafka, by giving it to us, that great opportunity, creates an enormous responsibility. That's based on the Vilna Gaon, that's the Meshech Chachma's, I think, very significant and important insight into tshuva, based on the Gra's idea of din and cheshbon.